Welcome to For the Love of Gardening, where each week we dig into topics important to you and your gardening lifestyle. I'm your host, URI Master Gardener Sue St. Jean. This week we're talking about sustainability in our gardening practices, and my guest today is here to help us become greener gardeners. Kate Venturini is a research associate at the University of Rhode Island Outreach Center and has served as interim director since January of 2013. Kate's research and outreach efforts primarily focus on sustainable landscape management as it relates to the vitality of natural resources and the human environment in Rhode Island. Kate developed the Invasive Plant Management Certification Program and the Rhode Island Residential Rain Garden Training Program for regulatory and green industry professionals. She has a bachelor's degree in landscape architecture and a master's of marine affairs from URI. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, you're certainly qualified to talk to us about this topic today. So let's get started. The term sustainability has become such a buzzword these days. So how do you see it relating to home gardening?
Well, that's a loaded question, but I think what I would say is we definitely know that gardening and gardening practices can have both a positive and negative impact on things like water quality,
okay,
and habitat and the environment. And so part of really what we prioritize at the university is training folks like you and all of your friends in the Master Gardener program about gardening in a way that doesn't negatively impact water quality and habitat. And that's really important because there's so many people who love gardening, and
right,
it's a really great way for us to extend messages out
right
to the general public. So,
right. I think that's a really interesting way to look at it. I think when many of us begin to garden, we worry about what plants we're going to plant, and we don't really think about where we're planting and what impact the environment of our garden can have on the result of our gardens, right? So what can we do as home gardeners to address these issues in terms of looking at our site and assessing how we can sustain it?
Good question. I think the first thing is learning.
Okay.
Learning is very important. Becoming familiar with the native plant palette. You know, it's kind of being a gardener can be like being an artist in that the plants we use are kind of our paint.
Okay.
And it's important to know which ones are native to this area because they'll do the best. The other thing is I often teach to people in the industry who get paid to do gardening for a living the process of site assessment, which sounds scary, but really it's just a method for inventorying what's present on your landscape. So things like how much sun you get, if there's wind exposure. We take a lot of these things for granted, but
right,
when you purchase a plant, when you think about that, there's actually icons on there that say, this will tolerate full sun or this will tolerate a dry site, things like that. So site assessment in concept is basically a way to inventory the natural elements of the landscape, like wind and sun.
Okay.
The built elements, so where, you know, your trash area is, you'd want to block that, versus where power lines might be. You wouldn't want to plant a tree under them. And then the social aspects, which are how you use the space. So doing site assessment collects all that information, and then it gives you a lot of data, as a scientist say, to make informed decisions about the landscape. So, for example, if we knew that our landscape was full sun, and also, you know, full sun means that maybe the sun's beating and there might be a dry spot, you would use a online plant guide to find plants that tolerate full sun and drought conditions.
Right.
Without that information, you might put something in that prefers shade, and you might choose something that prefers shade and also to have wet feet.
Right.
Rather than something that wants to be in sun and is drought tolerant.
And I think that's really important to know. I know myself, when I first started gardening, I wasted so much money planting plants where if I just thought about it and really looked at where I was, where my garden was, it would have saved me so many problems that I had because I didn't pay attention to those things. And you don't have to be a scientist to figure out where your light is, what kind of, you know, how wet your soil is. All those things are pretty easy to assess, and it's such valuable information. One of the things that we talk about a lot with master gardeners is this idea of integrated pest management. which is the whole idea that, you know, we can look at the environment and mm-hmm. prevent pests by doing a lot of the things that you're talking about, right? That,
yes.
that we can create a habitat that is really attractive to pests if we don't know what we're doing. So can you talk a little bit about that? How can we plant our gardens to try and keep those pests at bay?
I love these questions. Good stuff. So IPM, we often call mm-hmm. it, integrated pest management, is an approach to basically making sure that we're not adding unnecessary inputs to the landscape. So instead of speaking in theory, I'll speak in practicality. So
okay.
if you think about when you look at your landscape, there's leaves, there's plants, mm-hmm. there's water, there's sun. You have everything you need in front of you. And what IPM teaches us to do is to look at the symptoms that you're seeing. So for
okay.
example, if you had an abundance of a certain weed in your lawn, that's actually an indicator of the problem. So,
okay.
You know, the way somebody might approach it without knowing that is, oh, I have a weed. I need to get weed killer.
Right.
I need to spray it. That's going to end up killing beneficial insects also, and it may run into the storm drain and cause water quality problems.
Okay.
When you know IPM, integrated pest management, you would look at that abundance of weeds in the lawn and say, oh, that's actually a sign of compaction. So instead of putting weed killer down, we'd actually recommend you core aerate the soil as a way to fix it. And so basically another way to think of it is this IPM approach is looking just like site assessment at what the environment is telling you about what you're seeing and coming
right.
up with a solution in response to what the environment's telling you.
Right.
Instead of just going to the store and buying something to take care of it.
Right,
quote,
right,
unquote.
Right. I'm a vegetable gardener more than I'm a flower gardener.
Mm-hmm.
So I always think about gardening in terms of, you know, my beautiful vegetables.
Mm.
And one of the things that I loved learning about when I went through the Master Gardener program was just how simple things like crop rotation and leaving enough space between plants
mm-hmm.
when you plant them so they have good air circulation can have an amazing impact on the quality of the plants and how happy they are.
Mm-hmm.
And like you're talking about with the natural world, beneficial insects as a way to deal with pests.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a bit more about that?
Yeah, we talk a lot about keeping, and I'm making these hand gestures on the radio, but keeping the...
She's drawing a circle.
keeping the loop closed.
Right.
So you know, a lot of times we'll hear stories on the Master Gardener hotline that people can call in Monday through Thursday from 9 to 2. We hear people calling in and saying, you know, I treated for a pest, and now there aren't as many flowers in my garden. And
right.
what that's telling us is that when they treated for the pest, they treated and knocked out all of the beneficials also.
Okay.
As opposed to treating for the pest very specifically and maybe encouraging their pest insect to come into the landscape. And, you know, there's a lot of information out there about how to do this. But
mm-hmm.
I think the moral of the story today is that all the answers are right in front of you, and
right.
observation and information can lead you to the answer. And one of the reasons we love the Master Gardener program and Cooperative Extension, which is the part of the university that I work for, is that Master Gardeners have a real zest for learning.
Right.
And when you learn information, when you get the information you need to solve these problems, things become very clearer. So that was a roundabout way to answer the question. But really, I think learning and a commitment to understanding that what you do on your landscape impacts the world,
okay.
really.
Well, we have to take a short break. When we return, we'll continue our discussion on green gardening. Stay with us.